just going to give people a couple more minutes and I'll get started. There are three dogs here now, so that's my quota. I'll perform with at least three dogs in the room. So I'm going to get started. Thanks for coming. My name is Stephen Garrity, and I'm with a web development company from Prince Edward Island, Canada, called Silver Orange. Some of you have worked with us before, but some of you haven't. Our company was founded in 1998, which is also the year that the Mozilla project got started. We started working with Mozilla in 2003, which is, in the life of the project, is actually quite a long time ago. And due to the growth of the Mozilla project and how many new people there are every time we come out and visit, I would think that now there are a lot of Mozillians who weren't around during some of the older iterations of the Mozilla.org and Mozilla.com websites. So I thought we could give a bit of a walk through history of some of the older versions of the website, to give a bit of context as to why we are where we are now with the current website. So, does everyone recognize this? This is this went up in 1998, thanks to the archive.org for all the previous versions of the website, by the way. So this website, almost unchanged, of course the content was frequently updated, but the visual style lived for 5 years, completely unchanged. That header graphic and stuff, that was up there for 5 years. I call this the BSE, that's before the Silver Orange era. Or it's also an acronym for Mad Cow Disease, it's a big deal in Canada. But this was, the visual style here is actually, you know, that we still have this logo for Mozilla, and some people aren't aware that the lizard and the star, that artwork was actually created by Shepard Fairey, who some people might know as the creator of the Obey Giant poster campaign and the probably more prominently the Obama Hope poster, the sort of blue and red face that was on the cover of Time magazine. So it's kind of a cool tie-in with Mozilla.
The dino ones?
Yeah.
The star... Well.
I think the whole deal. I think, but I'm not sure exactly. I mean, everyone who knows is long dead.
Yeah. I think it was all created at the same time, so it's probably
And I don't know how that came to be. So if anyone wants to interject as I'm going here, or correct me if they see any mistakes, or throw any more information, please do. What's that?
Or Mitchell.
Yeah.
They were around.
This website was, of course, just static HTML on the back end in CVS, and the CVS history is all still there. You can go back and see, you know, all the original commits from... They started in February 1998. It was a very developer-oriented website, obviously. There was no download button, because on day one, there was really nothing to download yet. So, in 2003, when we started to get involved with Mozilla... I was doing a bit of digging in preparation for this talk, and I found a blog post that I wrote in 2003 where I said that I had switched my default browser to Firebird, which went on to become Firefox, Firebird 0.6. I guess back in 2003 when you switched your default browser, that was something you made a blog post about. this was the sort of the world, the visual world of Mozilla at the time. It was inconsistent. The quality varied wildly, sort of a Wild West kind of thing. And that kind of bothered me, because I felt at the time that there was really high-quality software, high-quality engineering, but the visuals were really poor, and it just didn't match the quality that I was seeing in the rest of the organization. So I wrote a blog post in 2003, where I sort of wrote up a bit about what I think Mozilla should do, and I was not involved with Mozilla at all at the time. And it was a little manifesto about how Mozilla should pay attention to visual design and professional quality graphics. And I actually argued at the time, too, that they should keep the name, that I didn't think they should rename the browser. Turns out that Firefox was not a bad idea, I guess, for a name for a browser. But after I made this post, Bart de Krem, which I don't even know if any of you might have worked with, if Bart was here doing marketing stuff at Mozilla at the time. He's now like at Disney Interactive or something like that. But he emailed us and said, just sort of out of the blue, and said, "I'm a marketing guy at Mozilla. I saw your post. Do you want to do something about it? Can you help us? Where's the patch, essentially?" So he gave us the sort of permission and authority to assemble a little team that we called at the time the Mozilla Visual Identity Team. It's kind of a grand name. We had grand ambitions. But really, the only thing we did was the logo. We didn't really do much beyond that. But I mean, that turned out to be a pretty good project. So a bit of history on the logo itself. This is just leading in a bit to how we got involved with the website. So this is... You might have seen this on Morgamic's laptop. I know this actually. His laptop sleeve has this Hokusai's Great Wave. It's a classic Japanese woodcut. So there was an icon drawn by an artist named John Hicks, who went on to draw the Firefox icon that was based on this for Kamina, the OS X implementation of sort of Mozilla. That's not quite exactly what it is, but I think most of you know what I'm talking about. And this, I thought at the time, was an excellent example of an application icon. It had an interesting visual metaphor, you know, this sort of a surf metaphor, but it wasn't so on the nose that it was like a surfboard or something like that. It matched the platform at the time. He was designing this for OS X. It was a round icon with the right shadows and the right production quality that when you put it on your dock, it looked good. So, not having worked with John before, I sent him an email and said, "Hey, we really like this icon. Would you like to work with us?" We got to say we were the Mozilla Visual Identity Team, so that sounded like it was kind of a big deal. So, he helped us out. And later in 2004 now, the same group of people we're talking about, including three of us at Silver Orange, myself, Stephen DeRoche, who is here, and Daniel Burka, who might be watching, who he went on to be the creative director at Dig, actually. We were brainstorming in our office, and we were trying to come up with what should the icon be. That we had the name Firefox at this time, so the metaphor kind of came up with itself. That we couldn't get past the globe, we just couldn't come up with another metaphor for the web, and Internet Explorer had sort of defined that, and we just couldn't do better than that. So we decided to just cut our losses and stick with that. It was standard; people recognized it. And then with a name like Firefox, I mean, what else could you do? You have a fox that's on fire. There wasn't much else that we could do with it. So Daniel and Stephen and I stood around a whiteboard in our office in Charlottetown on the other corner of the continent in Prince Edward Island, and we drew a rough little sketch of this basic form. And Steve, who's here today, went to his desk and took out a pencil and drew this exact sketch just a few minutes later. It's really quite remarkable that this was the first iteration, and it's really quite faithful to what we ended up with. We posted this on our intranet for the rest of the visual identity team, and John Hicks, who I mentioned with the Kamina icon, 3 hours later, he posted that, which is very close to what we have today. I mean, it's been refined and improved, but it's pretty remarkable that we went from a whiteboard to that in about 3 hours. This is the version we have today, which the quality has improved dramatically. I think there's been excellent work on it since. Alex is here. Excellent work.
We changed it.
But it's still remarkable that it went from that sketch to this initial implementation so quickly. And at the time, we kind of thought that it would be, we weren't sure if it would be accepted by the community or how it would be received, but there was such a vacuum of quality design and artwork that there was just no question. It wasn't even like, should we debate whether or not we'll use it? It was just, the old icon was ugly and this one looked good. And that was it. Then, back to the website. So after that 5 years of that Shepard Fairey initial design, he didn't do the website design, but that Shepard Fairey inspired artwork, Now, I think, and I'm not entirely sure of this, I'm going on CVS history, that Ben Goodger, who was one of the original Firefox developers, did this design himself. It only lived for a month or two. You'll see what followed. But I don't know how many people know Ben. He works for another company now on some other browser. He was one of the original creators of Firefox. And when I first came out to Mountain View in 2004, he asked me, I didn't really know him at the time, but he said, do you need a car? I was going to rent a car. So he said, yeah, I've got a car you can borrow. And he gave me the keys to this Nissan Sentra, and the license plate actually said Zuul, X-U-L. I don't know, does everybody get that when they come out here for the first time? Anyway, so this was beige. And it continued to be beige. This was the next major design, and that previous design only lived for a couple of months. Dave Shea, who was a designer, web designer, who's also Canadian, incidentally, although we don't really know him, volunteered to do this design. He had looked at the Mozilla project, much as we had with the icon work, and saw that there was a need, and it was something that he could help with. So he created this visual style. And while I wasn't involved in the project, I get the impression from reading Dave's blog posts about it, and they're all still online, that it was a difficult project for a designer to get involved, and sort of there was a lot of clashing with it. It was a very engineering-oriented group, and it was like, you know, it was just an awkward mesh between visual designer and engineering-type organization, and it just, you know, that hadn't happened here at this organization before. It was still beige, too. So then in 2004, Bart DeCrem, who I mentioned earlier, got in touch with us for the icon work, asked us if we would help out with the Mozilla.org website. So this was in 2004, the first silver-orange design of Mozilla.org. So this was our redesign. Again, it was myself and Stephen DeRoche, who's here. And actually, the lead designer on this was Daniel Burko from Silver-Orange. And this design went on, like the first one, to live on the website more or less unchanged for about 5 years, which is longer than we usually let the designs go these days. And this blue header with these inset tabs and the subtle little gradients and stuff was it sort of set a trend at the time. It looks pretty generic now, but at the time, when this went up, for a couple of years after, you started to see websites that were strongly influenced by this design. If they were still up, I would have been able to get a few screenshots, but I know there was sites like sun.com for a long time looked very much like this, where you could really tell that they had seen it and taken inspiration from it. The website was still completely static HTML in CVS. There were a few Perl scripts that built a news page and stuff like that, but there was really no infrastructure on the back end. So, same website in November 2004 was around when Firefox 1.0 was released. And this is a little sidebar, because this is a little claim to fame that I have. Since I was managing the website at the time, I was the one who got to make the commit that pushed Firefox live. So you can see the time here in the bottom corner there was 0:50. That's local time here. Where I was, it was 4:50 a.m. So, in my little house in Charlottetown, in bed on my laptop, actually, at 4:50 a.m., I made this commit and pushed Firefox live. And I'm very proud to have been able to do that, because it was this, I felt like this huge amount of awesome work had happened. And we got to come in at the end and make, you know, a few tiny little tweaks. But as a result, we got to be part of that. And so that's why I'm bragging about it now. Then in November of 2005, this was another silver-orange design. This was also the first Mozilla.com website. Now, I don't understand or know all the details about why .com started, the .com website started. At the time, it was told to us that there were legal issues around, there was recruiting and generating revenue, but somebody else could explain that better than I could. But we were basically told, for reasons that we don't have control over, we have to move a lot of our stuff, our products, to a .com domain. And so the Mozilla.org website was sort of left with that previous blue top design for 5 years. And this was the first iteration that we did of Mozilla.com, the green download button in a very early iteration. And this was also the first version of the website where we switched from just static HTML to a very simple and crude PHP template system that just sort of includes at the header and footer of all the pages to make it a bit easier to manage. And Reed and Will Flauser, who are still around, did some of that PHP work. And that's essentially, though it has improved since, still what we have today in terms of managing the infrastructure. Firefox 2, and you can see here, by this point, at Mozilla.com, the redesigns sort of were in sync with major Firefox releases. Every major Firefox release had a visual redesign of the website. So Firefox 2 was the first major redesign of Mozilla.com that was not visually designed by Silver Orange. We were working with Paul Kim, who was, I'm not sure his exact title, like maybe the creative director, or he was basically in charge of all things marketing here at the time. He now works with Automattic, the WordPress. We had a great time working with Paul here, actually. So Paul brought in a company called Nobox, a marketing company, and they did the visual design for this. And at the time, we kind of felt like, you know, there was another company coming in and kind of stepping on our toes a little bit. But as it went on, it became clear that they were doing something visually that we probably wouldn't have. And I think for the better, it was smart of Paul to see that they needed to bring other people in, you know, rather than this little company in Charlottetown. And we were glad to stay on and help with we did all the implementation. We were basically given Photoshop files, and we did the implementation, which was still this very basic HTML or PHP template system. I'm just going to breathe for a second. So there was a fairly long stretch between Firefox 2 and Firefox 3. It was about 2 years. By Firefox 3, we were working with John Slater, and John brought in a company called the Royal Order of Interface Design, Royal Order of User Interface Design.
Experience Design.
Right. We called them the Royal Order. And they were actually really awesome to work with. We came out to Mountain View to meet them, and I still remember being in a room here, and they set up like a mood board of cutouts from magazines and stuff, which at the time I thought was like really lame and dorky marketing company-ish. But it did pan out, actually. They did a very good job, and they were very good to work with. So they created this visual style, which was, again, not something that, you know, if Mozilla had come to Silver Orange and said, can you design an updated website for you, I think we would have done a good job, but it would not have been this, and I think this is probably better than what we would have done. And we were, again, glad to work on the implementation. That illustration you see in the background, the doves and the pipes, there were several different versions that just randomly rotated as you visited the website. Firefox 3.5 was a minor refinement to the website, lots of content updates, but the visual style remained the same. This style lived on through Firefox 3, 3.5, 3.6. The website grew and matured a lot, but overall, visual style remained the same, so that this design had a long run. And meanwhile, back at our old friend Mozilla.org, after another 5-year run with that blue header on the top, there was a redesign by a company called Happy Cog, which is a great design firm, I think mostly out of New York, but they have companies out here now too. There are offices out here. They did this visual redesign of Mozilla.org in September of 2009, and we were, again, helped with the implementation. And during that process, we also ported the .org website, which had about, I don't know, 100 million zillion pages, most of them which were not used anymore, old documentation for edited stuff. But we ported that from CVS to SVN for version control, and from static HTML to a simple PHP template system. There was another design update that also by Happy Cog, but managed by David Boswell, who wasn't able to be here today, of the Mozilla.org website in 2010. And you know, the visual style remained the same, but it was really simplified and cleaned up. It was a nice improvement. And this web this version of Mozilla.org sort of still lives on today with kubes.
One correction.
Yep.
Actually, that one on the right was done by our internal team. We did it.
Right. I apologize. Actually, yeah. So Lee, you did the second iteration. Is that right? Then?
Yeah. I mean, I picked up from styles that were already established.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for the correction. Yeah. So Lee, it was the design on the right here, and the one on the left was Happy Cog. Is that right? So this is the website you probably recognize. My download number is out of date because I took the screenshot a few days ago. And maybe you guys can clarify this as well. From what I understand, this was, I went through a lot of iterations, but the Royal Order was involved. Lee, I believe you were involved in the design. Sean Martel was involved in the design. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it was pretty convoluted.
Yeah.
He was pulling people off the street.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got to design this part. We did the bottom right. But this is the website that we've ended up with today. And you can sort of see that the pedigree of the previous sites. This was one of the strongest visual redesigns, I think. And I'm also quite glad to say that I think it's by far the best version of the website that we've had. And when I look back through all the versions, I do think that it has gotten better and better with every version, which is nice to see. So I wanted to look at one of the... When I look at this page, and this is quite intentional, the download button is the most prominent thing I see. And that, I think, carried through all of the designs, except for the original one where there was no download button. There was instructions on how to check out from CVS and build it yourself.
And telephone support and CD.
Yes, yeah, you could order a t-shirt or a CD. We actually built the websites at the web store where you could order the CDs. We were hand in a lot of pots here. So I was just looking, pulled the download buttons out of all the different versions of the design to see how that element itself evolved. And it's kind of interesting to see here. This was the first version that Stephen and myself, but mostly Daniel Kirk at Silver and Orange did. Though it has improved and evolved a lot, it still has a lot of the same basic elements. It says free, it says download, it has all the small print you need. It's a big green button that stood out on the page. So I think Daniel, in his initial design, really nailed that. It's kind of funny, actually. In this version, you can only click on the free download text or the other systems and languages. The green button itself is not a clickable element, which was improved a year later in the first .com design. So the change here, obvious. We removed the arrow. We added the Firefox logo. The wording was changed a little bit. It wasn't free anymore, I guess. I don't know how much it cost. We took the extra links out of the button, and this was the first one where the entire button was clickable, which I think was a big improvement. So a simple one. Then with the no box design in 2006, and this lived on through 2007 as well for Firefox 2, the button got bigger and yellower. The logo grew. And it continued to grow. This was the biggest the download button ever was. I don't know, maybe it was during the bubble, the button download button inflated with it.
Yeah, like true to scale or just...
These are related to each other. These are to scale. They weren't actually...
They're
about that big on the screen. Yes, but this button, this is the 3.5 version, but this was Firefox 3, 3.5, 3.6. And it pulled in the word mark, the logo was bigger, it's just a more refined design as well. This was the Royal Order, the visual design for this version. There were two versions, actually, on the website at the time, because the homepage had this first one with the logo. The Firefox page, this is when there was a different homepage and Firefox page, Firefox page already had a huge Firefox logo on it, so we didn't want to duplicate that in the download button, so there was sort of a simplified version of the download button on the Firefox page. And then the version we have today, and this is still live on the live website for the Firefox 4 release, you can see we started to shrink slightly. We've come out of the bubble and things have calmed down a little bit. It's a light text on dark background. We still got download arrow, so it comes and goes throughout the years. But it's interesting to see, I think, that this, the changes are quite subtle here, and it's certainly improved. I mean, the production quality has improved, and just had the people who were getting involved in the project were just better at that, what they did throughout the years. But in that, you know, from 2004, really early 2004, all the way down to 2011, the download button is still a big green rectangle. And that was quite intentional throughout all the redesigns, that we wanted to make sure that we didn't interrupt that. That was something, and when you go to other websites now, that all throughout these years, that has become a bit of a convention. And I think at the time, I'm sure there were others that were doing it, it was kind of defined, because Mozilla had a prominent enough website that when we did something on the homepage, that had sort of a ripple effect through other sites. So I wanted to take another quick look at one more common design element throughout the years, and that's the header, which is one of the other sort of consistent elements that has survived through most of the versions of the Mozilla.com and .org site. This, like we saw earlier, was the first 2004 redesign of Mozilla.org that Silver Orange did. Had the search at the time, the right-aligned internal tabs. And like I said, this was copied a lot. This was sort of a popular design. In 2005, the Mozilla.com site for Firefox 1.5. It was streamlined a bit. We dropped the search. This is faded out of the edges, but it actually ran the full width of your browser. And that, you know, that top bar lived for 3 years until the Royal Order design in 2008, which lived for another 3 years until just last month or whenever it was that Firefox 4 was released. Again, we brought the search came back. Big change in this version was that these buttons, the product add-ons, support community and about buttons, were fly-down menus. So when you clicked or hovered on them, they opened a submenu. And then the current version we have, which is by far, as you can see, the biggest break from that design. I also think it's the best. I think it was, I can say that because it wasn't me that did it, but it was time for a break from that. So I think it was, I'm glad that John and the rest of the team saw that. You know, this probably is something, had I been making that call, I might have tried to keep a variation of that and just had a slight evolution. But it was time for a break from that design. And what's great about this, and you don't really see it when the header is isolated like this, is it allows the content of the page, the download button, the screenshots, the copy, those big black bold headlines, to be the visual top of the page. And everything above it sort of fades away as Chrome. It's there if you need it. And this will continue to evolve. So, and this is my last slide here. This is just a quick summary of everything I've just walked through. This is the top line here is the Mozilla.org website with a screenshot for every year from 1998 to 2011. The second line, starting in 2005, is the .com website. Hopefully for 2012, there won't be a .com, as many of you know. .com website is planned to be merged back into the .org website. You get a good idea here of how long some of these designs lasted. You can see in the .org stream here from 1998 to 2002, really the end of 2002 and the part of 2003, for 5 years we had that original design. Ben Goodger's beige version of 2003 there only lived for a couple of months until Dave Shea redesigned it in 2004. And then we got involved, silver orange, and things turned blue, I guess. In 2005, that .org redesign lived for almost 5 years there until the Happy Todd red version came along. And Mozilla.com, you can see here as well, these are small screenshots, but it's almost better this way because you get a sort of a bird's eye view. There was a very small evolution, and that green download button is visible even from this far out view. The blue header, while it existed, was very strong, visible from way back like this. So I think that the takeaway I have from this is that things have matured on the websites as the organization has matured. And as an external contractor working with Mozilla, we've seen that as well. The people that we've worked with have, you know, they've always been great, but they've gotten better and better. And it feels like we're part of an organization that is getting better and better, and it feels like the website improves with it. So I'm really looking forward to the next row. I'll have to scroll everything sideways for 2011 and To be honest, right now, I don't know what it will look like. I imagine that it will continue to evolve, and there'll be side effects from merging the Mozilla.com and Mozilla.org websites, but that remains to be seen. And we're glad to have been a part of it, and we're looking forward to continue being a part of it. So that's what I want to talk about today. I'd love to hear any questions or comments, but that's all I've got. Anybody have any questions?
So I think it was around 2008 or 2009 we did a bunch of studies of different download buttons, different colors and stuff. And then it turned out that the green one was the best when
yes.
we did the full research.
Yeah.
So nice work on guessing the the correct design.
Trust your
without,
gut.
Yeah, without all the metrics required. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of wondering how intentional were some of those changes to the download button with like bringing free back? And do we actually have the conversion rates for all the ones that we used?
Free was definitely intentional.
Yeah.
I think we did A/B testing with a few different tests there, including free and not including it and things like that.
Yeah, Blake could tell you more, but we've tested free and not free. Free definitely works. I mean, I think that's a general rule in marketing is that it's free, you should always say it.
Yeah. It was actually an interesting survey when we wondered why people wouldn't update Firefox 3.5 to 3.6, and they did a survey, and I think 25% of the people that answered wouldn't do it because they didn't think it was free. Because nowhere in
forgot.
The update dialogue
forgot
did it say it was free.
Yeah. It's easy to forget.
Yeah.
Keep forgetting.
It's so good. You forget that everybody
has to know. Yeah, it's true. Well, it's a good point that you bring up because I do remember that it's not a project that we were involved in at Silver Orange, but there was a set of different, completely different color icons. There was an orange version and a purple version.
Yeah, the purple one.
And they were tested against each other. And yeah, it did come back to the green download button. And I'm sure this was accounted for by the metrics team, but I mean, there's also, when you make a change like that, for some people, they will have, you know, the difference might be because they had been on the website before and it's not what they were expecting. I think it's kind of neat that the green design that we had originally was the one that worked best.
Do you know how common that green arrow was in 2004? Like, was that a common download symbol at that point?
Well, I think arrow as download, I think was pretty common because that's something we were looking for. This particular illustration of the download arrow is from the Tango project icon set, which was a Linux icon design project. I can remember at the time, I think I was like about 12 years old maybe, we were in 2004. We wanted to make it obvious that clicking on this was going to download something as opposed to take you to another page, which is, you know, for people that aren't really familiar with the web, that's a big difference. And I think at the time, arrow, down arrow, or something like a floppy disk or a hard drive was really the only thing, and that this was something that was, you know, a little more visually pleasing and a bit less ridiculous.
So what's the relationship between like the Firefox 1 icon set by Stephen Horlander and then the Tango design? Because it seems like they have a lot of very similar visual elements.
Yeah, that's a great question. The question is about the Firefox 1 icon set that Stephen Horlander did and the Tango project, which was this. Tango was a project to try to unify some of the visual style of various Linux distributions, which was sort of successful to varying degrees, but has, you know, they've gone on to become much better than they were with the Tango project. From what I recall, and I was involved a bit with both of those projects, Stephen Horlander's work came first, and the Tango project was inspired by that. I think I can remember in some of the early discussions about Tango, there were screenshots of Stephen's work saying, let's pick up some of these elements. There was a simple, subtle external dark border, and then a lighter internal border. That was one of the strongest features I think that was taken from Stephen's work. That was, I think, he gets the credit for coming up with some of that, and then we still work. Any other questions? Okay.
Thanks
a lot.
Yeah, that was really awesome. I had no idea that you started out
go back
the way that developers start out.
Yeah, I mean,